If I say there is hope for complete recovery for people with a concussion, you say
100%.
And in fact, you didn't only feel it, you were outside the regular medical system because they were not interested in you.
Neuroplasticity actually opens you up to the world, makes it possible to develop, make it possible to rehabilitate.
Traumatic brain injury has been caused a silent epidemic for that reason, because it consists of changes and disabilities that are not obvious to other people.
If, as a physician, you felt you had nothing to offer a patient, then I think ethically you need to say, I don't think there's anything I can offer you. Maybe you should see Dr. M.
Historically, we have called these things mild traumatic brain injuries, which implies that, well, it may be a brain injury, but it's not going to have great consequence, right? And that's frankly not true.
Welcome to Concussion Stories, a Life Yana podcast series filled with hope. I'm here to let you know that you are not alone in your post-concussion recovery journey. My name is Melanie, and I spent 6.5 years learning, experimenting, and training in order to find a way to heal myself from post-concussion syndrome. After making a full recovery by the end of 2018, I embarked on this mission to make the recovery journey easier for you. This is why I started this podcast, wrote detailed blog posts and downloadable guides, offer coaching, and also the course that I wish I had back when I was recovering, teaching you everything that I needed to know in order to make my recovery happen. On Concussion Stories, we dig deep while discussing hopeful stories of recovery, as well as the hard stuff in the messy middle. Let's dive right in. Today, it's time for our fourth and final episode with Professor Tenevuo, and we're going to dive more into his medical experience. He shares how his track record with patients who experience post-concussion symptoms contributed to his own growth, and how seeing over 6,000 patients post-concussion developed his understanding of the things that we go through. I personally find this part of our conversation the one that touched me most, and I can't wait to share it with you. So let's not wait any longer. Can I ask you, from your own expertise, how did you get so involved and so understanding of everything that we are going through? Because you're really
I think it has taken a lot of time and seeing a lot of patients. I remember when I started treating patients with the TBI regularly in the early 90s. So I think I felt that when I had seen something about 500 patients with TBI, then I started to feel that I begin to understand these patients somehow. But during my clinical career, I have seen, I haven't kept any accurate count, but I have seen well over 6,000 patients with TBI. So, and to me, this is not in a way a nice thing, but in any case, this is in a way a fascinating group of patients, because still I can say that I learned from these patients, maybe not every day, but every week. Still, every now and then it happens that I face problems and symptoms that I have never seen before. So this brain is so mysterious, and these injuries are so individual, so that I'm not anymore astonished from anything that comes to my practice. But I think one of the problems I also hear it from many patients, is that they say that the doctor has hasn't not listened to me. So that I think that's a major problem in many clinicians, that they do think that they know what the patient has about, what is the patient's problem, and they don't actually listen to what they are saying, and then they don't get any help if the doctor doesn't really understand and doesn't truly listen what they are saying or doesn't believe what they are saying.
I get the feeling that seeing TBI patients your whole career and having the personality that you have, that it has changed you as well.
Yeah, sure, definitely, yes, yes.
How so?
I think you have to. If you try to help these patients, you have to be able to have that kind of empathy, that you are able to hear what they are saying and able to understand what they mean. So without that, you cannot help them properly.
I wish I had met you while I was recovering.
One of the major challenges we still have is that probably there is a lot of recovery potential in many patients, but we don't know how to get it, how to find it. Of course, it helps that the doctor listens and understands and what is your problem, but it doesn't very much still yet help you to recover. So you have to do something that makes, in a way, enables your brain plasticity to work and get yourself back. So
exactly, yeah, that's exactly the thing that I did as well. So brain plasticity, neurogenesis, those are your friends if you want to recover. So those are the processes you want to stimulate. But I think that even the way you say it, like, there are things that we don't know, that's always better than what doctors told me. Multiple doctors, different times. Mm.
Like, try to cope with it.
Yeah, and
try live with it.
You cannot recover. There's no possibility. Wow. Mm. You cannot take hope away from patients. You shouldn't give false hope, but you cannot take hope away. And that's not something that you are doing. So in that way, you are already helping them by giving them a place where they can talk and a place where they feel recognized and acknowledged. That's something that I never got. So that's something that I thank you for on behalf of everyone. I believe. That's so important. And then if there's something that you don't know, because, for example, you say there might be a lot of recovery potential, and I am very positive about that because that's what I discovered, and I feel that there's so much about the brain that we still don't know yet. So how can you say that it isn't capable? I think us humans aren't capable, but our brain is capable of so much more. So if you say we don't know, but it might be, that's on a statement instead of saying, well, secretly, I don't know, but I'm going to tell you that it can be done.
Yeah, but that's a difficult task for patients with TBI, because usually these patients have loss of energy, and they have poor initiation.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to do, and what I hope that doctors will do eventually also, that they will just have this big toolbox that, you have a concussion, which we will name differently in the future. Here's your toolbox, and let's see how we can help you. And let's also come back so I can check up on you. I think that would be an ideal situation.
Yeah, but then we may have practical problem also. I was just thinking on one of my patients recently that I also advised to actually look at also at your pages if he finds something useful from there, and There are some excellent books on brain recovery, but the guy said that I have the problem that I cannot read a book, and I'm not able to read from screen either.
No.
Yeah. So how to help that kind of patient with
that's actually still a hurdle for me, because I already managed to make everything in the course downloadable so people can listen. So it's MP3 or a PDF so they can print it. But before that, they have to get into the course, and that's online. So it's it is difficult. And I think that that's where support systems come in, right? We need, and that's already something that you research as well, family members and loved ones. We need them to help us.
Yeah. And speaking about family members, that's also, I think, one vastly important issue, because usually family members are quite neglected in our traditional medicine. But if the family members do not understand what is the problem with the patient, so why he or she behaves differently, why he has this kind of problems, if the patient has poor initiations, it doesn't mean that he or she is lazy. It means something else. So if they don't understand these kind of problems, we are easily also causing more problems for these patients if we don't inform and support the family of the nature of these problems. And I think that's a very neglected area in many healthcare systems.
Yes, I think so too. On the one hand, informing family members or loved ones, because as you say, it impacts them too, but also they have their own belief systems, and they may judge, or they may help, or they may be overbearing. It could be every response. And on the other hand, helping them cope as well.
Because, it's very stressful for them too, because their loved one is not the same person that he or she used to be.
No, and they may have to help them find the right help, because it's so hard to find. We have already spoken for over an hour.
Yeah, time flies.
Yes, it's been such a good conversation with you. And I also feel like we have discussed new things. And I had a script on the side, so questions I wanted to ask you, but we just went on and I didn't even look.
Okay. Yeah.
I want to thank you for your time, but especially for your insight and also your dedication, your devotion to helping patients with traumatic brain injuries.
Thank you. Well, I think that's why doctors are for.
Well, amen to that. This concludes the 4 Concussion Stories episodes with Professor Tenabuo. I wish with all my heart that their contents may help you. Please know that you may always contact me to ask or tell Professor Tenabuo something, and I will relay your question or remark. Now I would love to hear from you. What do you take away from this episode? Is there something that you can apply to your life right away? Head on over to lifejana.com and leave your comment now. And if you want to hear and read more concussion stories, actionable steps and inspiration, be sure to subscribe to the Life Jana email list while you're there, so that you never miss out on new materials we constantly make for you. If you want to support this podcast, head on over to patreon.com/concussionstories. Thank you for listening to this Concussion Stories episode by Life Jana. May you be well, and may you be happy.